Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder, Hannah joins. We have TalkCast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. Or if you want to, you can join me on Twitch. So that's twitch.tv/SFU on call. And of course, you need to contact me for any reason. My email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. And of course, if you want to reach me via Twitter, my account there is also SFU on call. Shocker! And of course, my personal account is Paul Franz. That's PaulFranz. Just a reminder, I talk about tech and being Catholic. And of course, I have my Franz Games account, which is for announcing things like news about Warlord or SFB Online, or also things like client updates for SFB Online. And of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned to a podcast and available on various feeds around the net. Some quick news from A to B this week. Steve Cole is still busy working on Federation Commander Booster number 38. Also, some work on SFB module SSJ3 Shadow of the Eagle. And of course, always dealing with Shapeways. Steve Petrick was also busy working on SFB updates. Also, that same SFB module, SSJ3. And, of course, the Tholian Master Starship book. Jean was busy working on Call to Arms Starfleet Book 2. Also, she was also busy this week buying a house. Boy, it's quite, that was fast. The purchase in my mind, that was weeks. And I'm used to things taking months when it comes to that stuff, but congratulations, Gene. You and Al found a nice, wonderful, wonderful house, and I hope you make it into a wonderful home. Moving on, we're in forward to the SFB Online Tournament. That's the Sapphire Star Tournament number 2. And we have round 1 is completed. Round 2 is round 2 is not quite complete. We have one round 2 game left to do. And that's going to be a Win Black Shark versus the Win Ox Battle Cruiser. And they're scheduled to play at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on December 7th. December 11th. It's 7 p.m. on the 11th, not whatever. Onward and forward. When it comes to libraries, not much has been done when it comes to conversions. We have some new ships that have been added, but that's about it. So the complete conversion still stayed 2,519, and yet to be converted is 811, still leaving percent complete at 75.65%. And with that, that is the news for this week. Me, yes, the one, the only, Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight it's just me, you, and Dave. So Dave is in the chat room, and no one has joined me quite yet on Twitch because, of course, I just started the stream. So it's gonna be Barry's not here tonight. He's busy doing his job, you know. Working. You know how those things are. And the one thing that should be interesting to find out is what I'm going to be doing tonight. I'm sure that obviously you're going to know what's going on because I'm here. So, just to, okay, let me do this. Don't mind me. I need to mute my little iPad over here because I can see let's Twitch and make sure that I can keep an eye out on anyone who wants to chat with me on Twitch. While over here we've got TalkShoe. So That's how I do it, you know. It's a little behind the scenes kind of look there. But just okay, so there's a couple topics for tonight. Actually, I'm still deciding on whether okay, this is going all the way up here. Sorry about that. But so one thing I want to talk about actually is Warlord and the web, and the other one actually is Zindi slash Lyran. This is one of those random topics more often than not. And actually, you know what I think I'm gonna do? I think I'm gonna start with Zindi slash Win. Sorry, Zindi slash Lyran. The reason why I want to even talk about them at all, it's just because of, if you really think about it, the Zinni Lyran is interesting in many ways when it comes to the empires. The obvious thing that the one of the real reasons why I wanted to discuss it just for at least a brief moment. 5 minutes, maybe 10, however long this goes. I thought that it might be interesting, and that is, of course, that they're both cat races, you know. And I saw it was written that if anyone has broached the subject to the Zinnis or the Lyrans, that at some point they probably both were part of the same race, and then at some point, you know, they divided. Now, why that happened, no one will know. But that's the reason why I want to bring it up, because of they're both cat races, and therefore they're very much alike. See, of course, you have the Gorns. Now, the Gorns. There are multiple colors of Gorns. At least that's my understanding. Now, they're all, but the thing is, unlike the Zinni and the Lyran, who have their differences, you know, being cats they are, they define themselves as being separate empires, a separate race. Even though most probably as was pointed out, that they are the same, you know, back in generations history, one time one, the same race. Now, Gorns recognize themselves as, even though they might be brown or green or whatever color that they are, they still consider them all themselves to be one single race. Called the Gorns. You know, obviously, then there's the Gorn Confederation, which is actually the Empire itself. Because that's what I'm determining, that there's two different things. There's races and there's empires, and I'm making sure I get these right, because otherwise I'm gonna hear it from Gene. So, but you know, see, to me, that is the fascinating part about this, about the Zindis and the Lyrans, is that they consider themselves separate. And if you ever even mention to them that, hey, you guys actually might be the same race, you know, at least somewhere back in your genealogy, you at one point in time were a single race, which is definitely possible. At some point that they were, and at some point some great calamity happened, or some great divide happened where they said, no, we believe this and we believe this. So instead of being purely on a racial border we have here for these two empires, they were first probably, if you think about it was probably first divided by a moral or like a moral code or a religion. I'm not sure, how, where that, basically at some point there was a division between the two. Whether it's, well, for all of them, we might have been political in nature, but at this point in time, it's no longer known. It's been so long since that split occurred that nobody knows. So that is actually a possibility between these two empires, that at some point they were the same race. Now, obviously, you have the whole annals of genetics, and that's will divide the pools will never intertwine. Now, of course, here comes to my here's the one question I have. And that is, if for just it is possible where you have two people that the empires themselves consider themselves enemies, tightly bound enemies. Dave says he blames the preservers, and that probably I would guess that that is correct. But anyway, getting back to it, the if a Lyran and a Zindi would basically have a child, a love child, would it be would could would it be able to be could you tell whether it was a Zinni or a Lyran, or that it was not I could say the Zinni, the mother was a Zinni, say that, and that Zinni mother had the child of but they had a Lyran father, would that Zinni mother, the child growing up, would there be any way to tell that it was not a Zinni, or at least only half Zinni and half Lyran? I don't know. As it is, the there's one thing that I don't think ever really has been answered, which is, at least for me, it's possible it's been answered, and I just don't know it. Which is there a real, when it comes to physical difference, is there a physical difference between a Lyran and a Zinni? When it comes to, I know they're both cat races. So we don't know. They're both cat races, but do we know if there's any real physical differences? Like ones are more bulky, heftier, more like, say, I'm thinking about I'm not a mountain lion, but more of a jeez, I'm thinking about snow not snow leopard, like a snow leopard, used to the cold, so it's a little puffier, a little bulkier, because it needs, and of course it might need the muscle and the fat and so forth, compared to, let's say, a leopard. Or jaguar, I think a leopard probably a better example. Merge thin, fast cat. Is that the big difference? Because it's possible that is the case, and that's just, again, a division there. Because of kitties are kitties. It's just like you have mixed breeds of dogs. I'm assuming you could have mixed breed of you have mixed breed of cats or kind of mutts kind of thing. Of course, in my mind, when it comes to mutt cats, can anyone really tell? I know I can't, but I'm not an expert, an expert on kitties. I'm not. I'm just a kitty owner. I have four cats, and I love them very much. So. In that case, so that's the crazy thing about that, that they're blood enemies, basically. And obviously, they have different ideas when it comes to combat. What is their philosophy in combat when it comes to weapons? Because got the Lyrans, I mean, got the Zinnis with the drones and with lots of short range weapons, and the Lyrans are more standard in their approach. You know, have more bigger weapons, heavier weapons, more of the heavier weapons, and not as many small defensive type weapons like phaser threes. But they, of course, they have the biggest defensive weapon of them all. Well, not quite biggest, a pretty big defensive weapon, which is the ESG. And that can obviously be used for both offense and defense, just like any other defensive weapon, really, any phaser three. But you know, so their tactics, their philosophies overall, when it comes to combat and obviously ship design, is different. So you know that. That's one of those things that makes it interesting. That's why, you know, I think there's might be a division there. You know, I mean, you know, at some point in the history, you know. So, anyhow, it's always interesting. You know, the thing about the genealogy, whether it is of us humans, because supposedly we were all kind of if you really think about it, there has to be an Adam, there has to be an Eve to a certain degree. It's not like that, you know, it's like the whole, you know, there has to be one of that type of creature created, because it's not like all of a sudden you have these, you know, the same kind of humans all over the world, that they somehow all have evolution in the same way. It's like, no, I don't think that's possible. That makes no sense. It makes more sense that there wasn't an Adam and an Eve of sorts, you know, a first human, you know, first human woman, first human man, and they had human babies. Now, obviously, that was an evolution when it comes to the genetics of the whole situation. But at some point, there became that Adam and Eve kind of approach when it comes to evolution, you know. I won't go there. I was going to go into kind of a religious thing because of people. Well, I'll go there quickly. And that is, of course, people think that, you know, the Bible is stating a scientific fact, and people who read it that way are incorrect in their reading, because it's more of a theological fact and not a scientific fact. You know, the whole idea of the Bible is to tell what's the relationship with God and so forth. Not when it comes in Genesis and our relationship to the animals and that kind of thing, not about how exactly we were created. Because in my mind, yes, did God create us? Yeah, God did create us. Now, the processes to do that was the evolution. That's always how I thought about it. But, okay, that's the religion lesson for today. Okay, so moving forward, let's move on to the next topic for this evening, which is Warlord and the Web. That's one thing that I've been trying to work on for a while. I realized that this is not exactly, web interfaces aren't exactly my cup of tea. And more to the point, they're not my passion for the most part. There is one that I really would like to do and I need to look at, which is SFB Online. I like to have it so that it could be web-based. But that's not the main reason. That was not the main topic for this evening, though. Obviously, SFB Online on the web, I think, would be great. As I've talked to the person who's going to be helping me out with Warlord, we definitely discussed the whole idea of mobile devices. And the big thing, obviously, for something like SFB Online is that can any of you imagine trying to play SFB, Starfleet Battles, or Federation Commander on a phone? I know the phones are pretty big these days, but let's be realistic here, okay? The screen real estate is way, 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 way too small to do it. And in theory, the one thing that obviously that with the current interface, and I think it probably will stay like this for a while, which is the current interface for SFB Online, what's the biggest way of communicating? It's going to be texting, you know, texting back and forth. You know, that's how we chat. You know, I think that'll probably remain the way to do it. Why? You know, obviously you can go with voice, but here's the thing with voice, and that is one of the great things about being able to do it purely by text, and the reason why people currently, I feel like it's one of those reasons why people still don't want to have it so that they're working on computers using their voice. And that is, there's something about typing, you know, being doing things discreetly and quietly, and so that you can be anywhere and you can play your game or whatever. And you can listen to it. So if you had some background music, because a lot of these games have like a constant background droning on. And then basically the whole idea is to add excitement to it, and it gives it an idea of action. But when you actually have to speak out loud, all of a sudden that noise, that sound is out about in the environment that you're living in. It's not like you can put on a cone of silence, you know, so no one else can hear you. You know, if you could wear a cone of silence, it still would look kind of silly, wasn't it? But so that's why I think chatting, you know, typing it in is going to be the way you're going to do it for a while. And, you know, obviously, as I said, you can do chatting. But the thing is, this, the board game, yeah, it's nice to be able to chat. Yeah, I agree there. If you look at the chat room, they're discussing about the snow that we missed here in the Reading area. Of course, here's the fun part. I went north. So I went into around Tioga County, actually in Tioga County, which is where my daughter is going to school, because I had to drive her up there on Monday. Because I was going to go on Sunday, but then, of course, we had the snow and the freezing. Sorry, not the snow. We had the rain and, more importantly, the freezing rain. And I went, you know, that wouldn't be such a good idea. So I decided to come up on Monday, take the day off, drove up Monday, drove back down. You know, I figured, okay, even if it snows, and it did, most probably they're going to be able to keep a lid on it. They're going to be able to handle it, you know, keep the, put down the salt, keep the roads clear. And that's exactly what happened. They were able to keep the roads clear and everything was great. You know, God, oh, thank you, Lord, for keeping me safe on the way back, up there on the way back, you know. Yeah, Dave's mentioning how, if you're looking at the Twitch, you can actually see it. And if you're if you're only listening to this, I'll mention it, which is Dave was mentioning how the New England states, including New York and New York, they got a lot of snow. And I agree there. And that's one thing that I was watching the storm, the weather approach, and I was listening to EPAWA is the website, EAPAWA.com. I think that's correct. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And that they have a really good weather forecast. And they were just showing how, you know, that it was going to go up the coast on Sunday. But Monday, what's going to happen was going to happen on Monday morning, late Sunday, early Monday morning, is that the storm was actually going to wrap around and come back and give us snow. So the worst of the snow was going to be, up in the northeast part of Pennsylvania. And of course, northeast of Pennsylvania is what? New York. And then, of course, you keep going northeast, you will hit, of course, New England. In the New England states. So that's why, that's what happened, is that the front came around like that. But anyhow, back from the weather, back from talking about the weather and back to talking about Starfleet Universe. And just to finish off the thought when it comes to SFB Online, and that is that, chatting and moving ships around a board, managing seeking weapons, things like that on a mobile device, on a phone, I don't think it would be really possible. Now, one thing that you could possibly do is, in theory, you could have it so that you could watch the game. But, I'm not so sure people would be wanting just to watch a game on the phone. But, we'll just have to wait and see. That's why I think the minimum size for SFB Online would be a tablet. Even one of the smaller tablets. I think iPad Mini. I think that might be the smallest thing that might be possible, and even that might be pushing it. Go for with a 9.7 inch iPad or the 10 inch, or around that size when it comes to tablets. Now, so I think for SFB Online, that'd be it. Now, the thing is, what we're talking about tonight actually is Warlord in the Web, and that is, in theory, you could actually play Warlord on a mobile device. But be honest, I'm talking to this guy, Dirk. And he's going to help me out with a Warlord, a web-based Warlord client. Which is interesting, because actually that's one thing I got to talk to him about. I got to talk about the Bears are beating the Cowboys. That's awesome to see. And that was the legal, because I know his sister is basically legal counsel on this. And I told him that basically I don't think Steve Cole would want anything that is strictly Paramount / Star Trek / that kind of thing. I can't sub-license. I can sub-license anything that's related to Warlord itself. But anything that is related to, any assets, that artifacts that look like a Star Trek ship must be gotten from ADB themselves, because they need to create it, and I can't even license I can't sub license my license from ADB. I only can sublicense. I should be able to sublicense the license from Agents of Gaming and Bruce Grawl. So that's not the issue there. But so we're gonna probably do the same deal that I figured I could do, and it's a kind of a workaround is what it is. Where he develops it, I license it from him, and then I run it. So that's, we don't have to worry about licensing and all that kind of thing, because I own the license. I basically am doing everything, but the code still belongs to Don't mind the noise. That's my cats. But so we shouldn't have a problem there. Now, the reason why I even brought this up is because he's got some really good ideas, and I think this web-based aid is going to be quite cool to see how it all turns out. The whole idea, and I already talked to him about this, which is obviously is going to be automating the whole thing. That is when it comes down to it, as I wanted it, the ability to automate the whole process, so that all I have to do is I have to manage obviously the website, manage the games, manage how when they start and all that kind of thing. But people can, I don't have, I can basically do, it can be more of a hands off approach. People can enter in whatever the orders that they want, you know. We already have that portion of it, we have what's called the Starfleet Warlord Aid. So people can actually enter in their orders and they'll verify them, as part of entering their orders and things like that. It will do that for them. And then I will get the file and then I'll enter that in. But I still have to do that process of downloading it from my email and then loading it into the engine, running in the engine, and then create the game piece, the game file, sorry, the aid files, and then gather it all up and send it all back. Well, hopefully I can get that all automated. Obviously, part of it is already automated because of the results of the engine itself. Excuse me. Or I already take that results and I process them. That's what I do. So, but a lot of what Dirk's going to do is quite interesting, and it's basically we're using an agile approach so that it's going to be iterative, it's going to be an iterative approach on Warlord and how we get this done. It's going to take quite a few months. I'm not saying, I'm not announcing here that it's available for use. I'm just saying that we're working on it, and it's actually, we are seeing progress. So you should see it in the future. Hopefully, the one reason why he has some great ideas on how to do this. Okay, Russ. So for those people who are just listening on this wonderful podcast, hello. And Russ said that he showed Steve Cole the animation short that a couple weeks ago that was all ADB content, nothing from Paramount. Even phasers were called Phaser 2s, were called P2s. He wanted me to do more using Paramount IP, believing he has a legal right to utilize that as long as ADB hosts on their account, which is cool. Yeah, understood. Russ is saying that he's not really big on doing much of that. Takes away too much effort. And we'll just have to wait and see how that goes. I understand, Russ, because Lord knows that's a heck of a lot of work, especially to make it more Paramount friend, well, Paramount, more like Paramount material. Obviously, as Steve Cole will definitely would tell you, which is anything related to like Deep Space Nine, which I've been watching. I'm already up to season 4, episode 23. Yes, I've been I'm not binging it. I've been watching it and sometimes listening to it in the background and things like that. And then flipping back and seeing what's going on. Because, come on, let's be honest. Some TV shows, you just have to listen to the dialogue. You don't even have to watch it to actually enjoy it. But there are some times when there's a scene that you need to watch. Actually, what was it? Two episodes ago? Yeah. Which was, I think, it was one of the few episodes that I feel like, I don't think I needed to watch it. There was at least a couple scenes where I had to watch the actual scene and how the scene played out. And it was one of those really, and to me, very moving and touching, not touching, touchy, touching, episodes, but very, it spoke to me. I think it was very, very well done. It definitely connected with me, and I'm sure, and I feel like the whole performance connected with the audience. Overall, for the whole episode, I think it was very poignant overall, because it was basically what happened was that Miles O'Brien, the chief engineer for Deep Space Nine, basically he was looking at some doodads out on a planet, and then before anyone knew, he was basically sentenced for to 10, 20 year 20 years in prison. And but the thing is that those 20 years, he wasn't a real prison. They were all memories and put into his in mind, but of course it was realistic so that his mind would interact and so forth. So but these memories were real, as talking to his child, and basically the whole episode is about the effects of that event on him, which to me was very, very poignant. They're saying that was a great episode. I agree. That was one of the I think one of the best episodes of Deep Space Nine. Actually, the one thing I've yet to do, and I really need to do this because I did do this, and that is I bought there is a documentary doc documentary sorry on Deep Space Nine, on the whole show, and I bought it around like a month ago. Basically, I bought it and then I started watching all of the episodes. I think I'm doing it the right order too, because I think that being able to watch all the episodes and then watching the documentary, trying to remember how to pronounce that, I think that will really help overall with the understanding of the show. They're saying, oh, basically the show wasn't really appreciated when it came out, but I tend, Russ, I apologize. I did not look at the clip, but I promise I will do that. I have to respond. It reminds me, I have to respond to Al, because Al's working on little bit of F&E stuff for me, and that should be interesting to see how that all turns out. I think he's got a lot of that work done. It looks really good. Well, okay, it looks okay, the functionality is all there. And as we both agree that beautifying up the interface, the important thing in my mind when it comes to interfaces is not the way it looks at first. The important thing about graphical user interfaces is, I guess, user experience. The whole idea of it is that the flow through the process, the flow on how you do get things done, you know, and how that operates. Now, if it doesn't look quite nice, you're fine. You can clean it up at the end. Obviously, it's going to take a lot of work, but the important thing is to get the flow down right. As you get the flow down right, you can fix things up with like better artifacts, like better pictures, setting, you know, changing the color scheme for things, maybe even repositioning some items a little bit, you know. But as long as you get the flow down, I think you're good to go. Okay, I'm just looking at Russ said, and I know it's a little delayed because it's up near the top now. I'm continuing to push on the tournament stuff, finally incorporating plotted damage, semi-automatic application of damage to the SSDs in the video over a number of frames. Yeah, cool. I apologize. I looked at the Russ's videos. I definitely need to spend the time and the effort in looking at those. But I get back to the Warlord and the web, and that is, I think, you know, that will be benefit. And as I've mentioned before, the one thing I really want to do is be able to have it so that people can play these automated games, so that, you know, in my mind, they can keep, they can learn the system before they get what I call thrown into the big arena. That's why I see it, which is where you have the diplomacy, where you have the interaction with the players, and have it so that you know the rules on how to do things before you get thrown into that arena where the big dogs are, you know. And in my mind, I think the playing it by yourself, yeah, it'd be okay. But and if people say, oh, you gotta improve that, and, you know, it has to be better, it's like, no, it doesn't. There's a, when it comes to single player should be something that you use to maybe refine maybe some tactics, maybe strategies, maybe a little bit, you know, test them out against an NPCs. But even the NPCs are not that smart. But more importantly, you know, the key there is to make sure that you know how to use the different orders and use them correctly. Because that's one thing that will not change when it comes to Warlord. And that is, Warlord will still have text-based orders. You have to say, okay, PS, like purchase ship. Here's the Empire. Here's the Designator. This is how much I'm willing to pay. You know? Because one thing that's... Dirk said, oh, why don't you rewrite it? Because currently it's written in Clipper. And I told him, basically, it's a lot of work. It will take a good number of years to do that. Yeah, it's not something I'm exactly looking forward to. So, you know, we thought about doing a possibility of a smaller version of the conversion, and then maybe convert it, you know, starting with that and then going forward. But, you know, that's something I might do in the future, but we'll just have to wait and see. I just want to focus on getting the Clipper version of it just automated so that we can run the turns and then have it so that people can get the results back as quickly as possible. So, you know, that's the way Warlord is. I think people, I want to try and, with Dirk's help, and hopefully with Dirk's help, we can get a nice interface so that people will be encouraged a lot more than it is now. And of course, I think the great thing about doing it on the web is obviously that there's no installation, that everyone can run it. Obviously, there might be an issue. The one thing I have to make sure that Dirk keeps in mind is not everyone is running Chrome. Because Lord have mercy. I don't think we'll have that issue as much as some other people, i.e. TalkShoe. So, because as all these features, then it's like they don't work under Safari. It's like, oh, yeah, well, use Chrome. It's like, use Chrome? What the heck? So it's not HTML5. It doesn't work with other browsers other than Chrome. It's like, no. It's like, okay. That makes it difficult to sell to people. The only way you can use, interactive system is to use Chrome. You know? So, whatever. I think I don't want this to run on too long. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut it off here. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.